I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall seated.
Amen and good morning, everyone. Welcome to Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. What a day. What an opportunity we have to come in to a church and worship the risen Savior. In Sunday school this morning, our class talked about the verse in 1 John where John tells us that God is love and that he revealed his love for us through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ himself. And that for others to see our love for him back is we love each other. And what an opportunity we have to worship the risen Savior today. I am so excited about how God is going to move. If you are visiting with us this morning, we have a little yellow communication card in the pew in front of you. Fill that out and in a few minutes. Drop it in the offering plate. Tell us how to minister to you. Put on there that you want to visit. Put on there you want a phone call. Put on there that you have a prayer request, and we will honor that this week. Also, I just want to go ahead and tell you, you may see some things in this church service today that you're wondering about. We want to encourage you to ask us at the end of the service, hey, tell me more about that. In just a minute, Brother Paul is going to come to the platform, and he is going to pray over our student ministry team that is headed to New York City this Friday. We are sending out missionaries, which is biblical. We are sending out missionaries from our local church to minister to the needs, to the lost and dying in New York City over the next week or so. And so we're going to pray over that team that's going. So you'll get to see that. And then at the end of the service, you're going to see a baptism, a public profession of someone's faith, what their heart has already told them, that they believe in a crucified Christ and a risen Savior. But they want to tell the church and make it known to the world through baptism and through joining our local church. So you're going to see some things today that maybe you've never seen before. We want to encourage you to ask those questions. Also, at the end of the service, when Brother Paul is finished preaching, you're going to be invited to the altar to maybe make a decision. And we want to encourage you, if you're wondering about, you feel a stirring in your heart and you want to know how God is leading in your life, we want to encourage you to accept that invitation and come to the altar and someone will pray with you. So it's going to be a great day to worship God. We are so excited about this. So at this time, Brother Paul, if you'll maybe come to the platform, and then those who are going, not just our students, but those adult leaders who are chaperoning as well, if you will come forward and maybe at the bottom of the steps, just face the platform, and Brother Paul is going to come and pray. That means right now. Okay, okay. If it takes us this long to get on the subway, we may have some issues. Before Brother Paul prays, I just want to say this. Face the platform. Yep. Before Brother Paul prays, I just want to tell you, thank you, church, for loving our students, for loving our youth group. You are making a difference in their lives. God is using you to make a difference in their lives. I also want to thank our adult leaders who are able to go next week and help us chaperone, because I know you're giving of your time sacrificially as well, and I thank you for that. Before Jesus ascends to heaven, he tells us to go out and make disciples and baptize others. And these students are going to get a chance to do that in New York City. They're leaving the Bible Belt, and they're going to get a chance to do that. And I'm telling you, once you're saved, there's no greater privilege in the world than getting to be Jesus' hands and feet. When he tells us to be his hands and feet and then he gives us a plan for doing that. What a privilege to think that Jesus would use a sinner like me and would use just a church in northeastern Kentucky to go to New York City and be his hands and feet. What a privilege. And we thank you all for loving your youth and for supporting us in this way.
Just before I pray, everybody in this building that's a member of Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church and you believe in student ministry and you're thankful for what David Green is doing, would you please stand while I pray? Would you do that right now? Students, I want you to turn around. I want you to look at the support you have in this church. Aren't you grateful for those that support student ministry? And I'm just so grateful. Amen? Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven, I thank you, Lord, that these students have taken the Great Commission very seriously, and that is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. The gospel is what folks need. It has power. The Apostle Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Dunamis is the word, dunamis power. It's a constructive power. It's a destructive power. It's destructive in that it's able to tear down an old life and an old sinful life, but it's also constructive in that it's able to build up something brand new in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, Lord, we're praying that you'll use these students in a special way to carry out the Great Commission, not only to be concerned about folks in Ashland, Kentucky, and they are, but also folks in North America, and they are. And then later on, there's another mission trip, a Zimbabwe trip, that'll be coming out of this church that shows an interest in the world. And so at home in North America and around the world, this church has a worldwide mission ministry. And so today, Lord, I pray for these students carrying out the Great Commission, but also put in their hearts that they'd also be mindful of the Great Commandment, and that is to love the Lord their God with all their heart, with all their mind, with all their soul, and all their strength, and also the second commandment, and that is to love their neighbor as themselves, as themselves. May they go and express their love for others in New York City, but also the love of Jesus. Your blessings upon them and their leaders. David and Angie, we're so thankful for them. What a blessing the staff of this church is. And Ryan Curry, we're grateful, and others. And so your blessings, we pray, especially in Jesus' name. And all the members of Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church said, amen. God bless you. You might be seated today.
I'm actually going to ask you to stand right back up again as we continue to worship the Lord this morning.
Yes, that's okay.
Thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for the price you paid, bearing all my sin and shame. Worthy is the Lamb. the Lamb.
Let's pray as we prepare for our offering this morning. Lord God, we are so thankful for everything that you have done for us. We are thankful for the blood of your Son, Jesus, for his love for us, for his sacrifice, for the forgiveness of our sins. Lord, we worship you. But God, let us not just accept this gift and keep it to ourselves, Lord, but we are your servants. We are your bond servants, your slaves, Lord. Everything that we have is yours. Help us to live in that reality. God, we offer everything that we are to you. Our voices in song, our lives in worship, we give you this morning, Lord. We want to be a pleasing aroma to you, a pleasing sacrifice to you. These things we pray in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You may be seated.
Ushers, if you'll come forward this time in preparation for our offering this morning. A couple of things we need to take care of. First of all, we have a lady coming as a candidate for membership in our church based on her profession of her faith in Christ. She is coming, and that's why we're presenting her. She'll be baptized at the end of our service, and her name is Elizabeth Brown. We would like a motion to receive her. Is there a second? Well, I know no one would object. If you're happy about her decision, would you say amen? We just praise God for what he's doing in our church. Pray that he will continue to work. We'll continue to see people coming and make their commitment to Christ. Also this morning, pray for Brucie Prater. Brucie has gone home from King's Daughters, but continue to pray for her. And pray for Brenda Chafin. This is Kim Kaiser's mother. Kim received a call during Sunday school this morning. Her mother had hip surgery and something has happened, gone wrong. They called the ambulance to take her to the hospital. So Kim and Donnie and their children had to leave during Sunday school, but pray for her. And let me encourage you, too, to pray for our mission group as they go this Friday. We've prayed for them and dedicated them this morning, but pray for them all during the next week until they come back the following week. Just pray that they will be effective for Christ in their mission trip there, and he will protect them as they go. Brother Ralph Bricky is going to come and lead us in our prayer time this morning.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just to come to you, Heavenly Father, and realize, Lord, that we need to humble ourselves and seek your face, Heavenly Father, as a nation. Heavenly Father, we just pray for guidance in that this long list of prayer requests, Heavenly Father, our teenagers. I just ask for guidance, Heavenly Father, as we go through each day, our own personal lives. I pray, Heavenly Father, for the church, Heavenly Father, as a new pastor comes and the leadership of it. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you have done for us. We just thank you. Ask for guidance and the use of this offering, Heavenly Father, that it be used for your glory. We just ask in your Son's name, amen.
Have felt when David stood to face Goliath on a hill. I imagine that he shook with all his might until you took his hand and held on tight, 'cause you were there. Of danger stare, you were there, you were there always. You were there when the hardest fight seems of the unclear. You were there, you were there always. You were there when obedience seemed to not make sense. Oh, you were there, you were always there, you were always there. So haven't I learned that my ways aren't as high as yours are? And you alone keep the universe from crumbling into dust. And you are God, and though we would not have understood you, there you were, hanging blameless on a cross. Every moment, every planned coincidence just all makes sense. With your last breath, you were there, you were there. During history's darkest hour, you were there. You were, you are, and you will always be. You were, you are, and you will always be. You were, you are, and you will always be.
I'd like to read to you this morning from Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 9. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You're welcome to remain seated as we continue to worship this morning. This is a song that you will be very familiar with the words, but not necessarily with the tune. And if at some point you begin to pick it up, please join us and sing. Just sitting right where you are. Just sing along with us and worship the Lord with us this morning. All to Jesus I surrender. All to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, and in His presence I will live. All to Jesus I surrender. Savior, make me holy. Let me feel your Holy Spirit and truly know that you are mine. Oh, to Jesus I surrender. Oh, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him. In His presence I surrender all.
All to Jesus I surrender. Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Your love and power. Let Your blessing fall on me. All to Jesus I surrender.
Surrender.
Andrew, where are you? Come on up here, Andrew. And Andrew's coming to help me here a little bit this morning. And so, as a matter of fact, I've asked him to do something very special. And that is, I've asked him to kind of stand in for our new pastor. Come right over here, Andrew. And wouldn't you say that we have a handsome new pastor? Here he is. And so what we've done, we've called this guy, and now we're going to be asking him to do a variety of tasks. What we've called him to do, first of all, we want you to preach. There you go, Matt Shamblin. We want you to do some preaching, and we want you to do some teaching. You're going to have to do that. And then we're going to ask you to visit shut-ins. You got to do that. And then beyond that, visiting shut-ins, we're going to ask you to do some counseling. We got some issues and problems that we're going to have you to help us to discuss. And then, there goes my mic. Here, we're going to ask you to do some visitation because we have some people that will be our first-time guests, and we'll want you to go out and visit with them. And then also, we're going to be asking you to visit church members because we don't want anybody to fall through the cracks. We want to make sure everybody gets a visit from you. And then on top of that, we want you to have some study time. We sure do. And then beyond study time, we want you to do social media kinds of things so we can kind of keep up with you. And then we want you to do Sunday school. Don't forget Sunday school. And then beyond Sunday school, we're going to want you to do some business meetings. And then we want you to do deacon work with our deacons. We have some of the fine deacons. And then Matt, here you go. And then we're going to want you, what's this, John? Oh, you got to go to the SBC. You got to go to the convention. And then here you go. And then beyond that, we want you to do the KBC work. You got to keep up with Brother Paul. And then on that, we want you to do weddings. We'll have lots of those. And then we're going to have, let's see what else we've got in our bag. We want you to have some family time, Matt. We want you to be sure to do that. And then beyond that, we're going to ask you to do staff meetings. And we want you to do those on a regular basis. And then we want you to do associational meetings. Go down and check on Butch Kiger. And then we want you to do one last task here, Brother Matt. This is about all we can think of at this point. We want you to be sure to support all the functions of the Christian school. And, we got one other thing here, Matt. Wait just a second here. We're going to ask you to, here it is right here. I almost forgot. Your job description is not complete. You have to do funerals. Some of us are going to die during the course of that time. And so there you are. And thank you. Let's all give Andrew. How many of you know that's not the way it's supposed to work? I see what the problem is. I'm going to stick that in my pocket, okay? This little hook came off. I kept wondering, what on earth? We'll put that back on later. That's not the way it's supposed to work. As a matter of fact, you don't call one guy to do the work of several hundred. We call several hundred. See, there's already a ministry that exists here at Rose Hill Baptist Church. And guess who God has called to perform that ministry? He's called you. Now, you've called Matt. Now, why have you called Matt? You've called Matt, according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, to be your pastor teacher. Those two things go together. Pastor, teacher, to do what? Verse 12 says, to equip you. Equip you to do what? To equip you to do the work of the ministry. After all, it's your ministry. As a matter of fact, the Bible teaches us that you are going to be responsible one day before God in heaven for this ministry. Because God has expressly given it to you. And so I thought, well, one of the ways I could help the folks at Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church, because I love them. How many of you know that I love you? Say amen. Amen. And as I could share with them a message on stewardship. Are stewardship messages important? Absolutely important. Why are they important? Because in times past, God dealt with us as sinners, right? Romans chapter 5, verse 8 says, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we're yet sinners, Christ Jesus died for us. And so in times past, God dealt with us as sinners. Time present, God deals with us as sons. The Bible says that in John chapter 1, verse 12, that he deals with us as sons. To as many as received him, to them he gave the authority to become the sons of God. And so in times present, he deals with us as sons and daughters. But in times future, God is going to deal with us as stewards. And you know what the Bible says about that? The Bible says that it's required of stewards that they be found, what? Faithful. And so my prayer is that you'll be a faithful steward and that you'll understand the role of your new pastor, but you'll also understand your role. You won't stand at the bema seat, and the Lord's not going to say to you, well, listen, you know, Matt didn't do such a good job. I knew that you called Matt and to do what you were supposed to do, and he let down in a few of these areas. He just couldn't keep up with all of it, and it's not your fault. After all, you paid him a good salary, and he just kind of messed up. That's not the way it works, is it? But when you stand at the bema, you're going to give an account for what? Give an account for how God has gifted you. Give an account for your talents, for your abilities. Matt will have to give an account for the way he's taught and so forth, and so will I and others that lead in that way. But you're going to have to give an account for the way God has gifted this church and you as an individual. And so Matthew's Gospel, chapter 25, I believe, speaks to this just a little bit. Beginning at verse 14, if you want to follow along in your copy, follow along the reading of God's Word and your personal copy, or they may put it on the screen here. The Bible says, for the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling into a far country, who called his own servants and delivered to them his goods. And to the one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and another 1, and to every man according to his several, that word several means own, ability, and immediately took his journey. And then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them another 5 talents. In other words, he produced 5 more. And likewise, verse 17, he that received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went out and dug in the earth and hid his Lord's or his master's money. And after a long time, the Lord or the master of those servants comes and he reckons or he settles his account with them. And so they that have received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And his Lord said to him, well done, you good and faithful servant. Aren't those sweet words? Well done, you good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter you into the joy of your Lord. He also that received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you've delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I've gained 2 other talents besides them. And his Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. And then he would receive the 1 talent. Came and said, Lord, I knew that you're a hard man, reaping where you've not sown, gathering where you haven't scattered. And I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the earth. Lo, there you have, that is yours. And his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and slothful or lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I sowed not and gather where I have not scattered. And you ought to have therefore put my money to the exchangers or put my money in the bank. And then at my coming, I would have had received my own with usury or with interest. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him that has 10 talents. For everyone that has shall be given and he shall have an abundance, but from him that has not shall it be taken away, even that which he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory and all the angels with him, and he shall sit upon the throne of his glory. And I just pray this morning that the Lord will add his blessings to the reading and hearing of his word today as I share with you some insights from this parable. It's an important parable. Because what we have here, it depicts that Jesus died, Jesus buried, and Jesus raised, and Jesus ascended. But also, it tells us that one of these days that the Lord Jesus is going to come back. And since the Lord Jesus is going to come back, there are two implications for you and I. You say, what are the two implications? First of all, it has to do with stewardship. There's something for you to do. When God saved you, he had a purpose in mind. So there's something for you to do. But then second of all, there's something for you to know. That is accountability. The Bible says that we shall all stand before the judgment seat or the bema seat. Now, it's not a judgment in the sense we're going to be judged on the basis of our sins, but it's based upon what we've done with this thing called the Christian life. Every Christian will give an account for this beautiful, wonderful thing that we call the Christian life. And so I want to prepare you for that day. Because it would please me for many of you to hear the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." So first of all, I want to talk to you about a responsibility, verses 14 through 15, because what we have here is the Lord or the Master has gone away, and yet he's coming back. And so we have these gifts, and he's blessed us, and we're responsible on the basis of our giftedness. I think about the gifts and talents that will be represented here this morning. I think about this wonderful property that God has given you right here on Winslow Road. I think about the Christian school and the staff that you have and all the wonderful blessings that God has bestowed upon you. I don't know if you understand this or not, but one of these days we're going to be responsible for it. And the moment that you were saved, the moment that you were born again, God gifted you. Now, when I'm talking about a gift, I'm not talking about a talent. Now, you may have the talent. You may be able to stand on the top of your head in the corner and gargle peanut butter. Now, that'd be a wonderful talent. But that's not a gift. God gifted you uniquely and placed you in this body. Why? Because, listen, you have a purpose. What's your purpose? Your purpose is to build up the body. Your purpose is to expand the kingdom. What's man's purpose? Man's purpose is to equip you to do that, to give you the necessary tools that you need to be able to do that. And so the Lord talks about these talents. Now, it's important for you to know that a talent equals 15 years' worth of wages. So this is not a small thing. Even the guy with one talent had a pretty good chunk of change. You know, he had 15 years' worth of wages. Five talents was a large sum. Two talents would have been pretty good, and even one talent would have been good. So what's Jesus teaching us? Jesus is teaching us something about the value of stewardship. The value, the importance of it. It's so important that you're here this morning to hear this message because, listen, it will be invaluable to you if you'll take this and you apply it to your life. And so Jesus is talking to us about the importance of being good stewards of that which God has given to you and me. Let me tell you something. It pays to work for Jesus. Did you know the Bible says this? Listen very carefully what the Word of God says. Word of God says, know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let me just share this with you. You can't go wrong serving Jesus. You just can't go wrong. In other words, there's value in giving him your time. There's value in giving him your talents. I'm grateful for those that sang this morning and Angie, giving God their talents, the choir, the instrumentalist. I'm grateful for all of that. And there's value in it. There's value in giving him your treasures. Now, let me just say a word about that. I tell you what you ought to do. I'm just a suggestion, just a thought. Danny Lovett used to come and he would say things to our congregation, First Baptist Pikeville. He'd say, and now it's just a thought. This is just a thought. You don't have to do a thing I say. Amen? But what I think you ought to do, you ought to determine when your new pastor gets here, the Sunday that he gets here, you ought to make that a Harvest Sunday. And on Harvest Sunday, here's what you ought to plan on doing. Giving your best offering that you're able to give on that Sunday. To bring the best offering to the church on that Sunday. To do what? To show him that you're You're going to stand behind him. You're going to try to catch the budget up a little bit. You're going to try to move forward, and you're here to help him. You're here to stand with him because you understand something about this being your ministry. And so you offer your best offering on that Sunday. Now, here's what I challenge the deacons to do. And listen, they typically don't do a thing I say. So I just throw this out there. So they don't have to do this either. And that is, I would suggest if you've never tithed your income before, on that Sunday, if you'll tell Brother John, I'm dropping a tithe in the offering plate, do it by check. You write out your tithe check, first time you've ever done that, put it in the offering plate. And then if 30 days goes by and you haven't been blessed by that in some way, God has just not blessed you in any way by giving a tithe to the church, then you come to Brother John, and Brother John will give you your money back. And so listen, why am I sharing that with you? Am I just trying to be interested? Listen, I don't care. I don't gain a thing from that. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to help you to understand that there's value in your stewardship. There's value in giving God your time. There's value in giving God your talents. There's value in giving God your treasures. I heard about a wealthy Christian that died. And somebody in another church said, how much did he leave behind? And somebody else said he left it all behind. You know, Billy Graham used to say, you'll never see a U-Haul following a hearse to the cemetery. And that's true. You never will. Only one life to live, and it'll soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. What's done for Christ is called stewardship. And it has to do with our responsibility. We're responsible for how God has gifted us. To do what? To do what God's called us to do. What has God called us to do? God's called us to do what he's gifted us to do. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. What's he talking about? Can I sing a special like Angie just because I want to sing a special? I can do everything now that I'm a Christian. That's not what it means. Here's what it means. I can do every single thing that God has called me to do. I can do it. I can accomplish it. Why? Because God has equipped me to do it. And so what God has called us to do, he's equipped us to do. And what God has equipped us to do, he's called us to do. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 7 says this. Listen to it. But to every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Every single believer has a spiritual gift. If you don't have a spiritual gift, then you're not saved. The Bible also says in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10, listen to it. 4, verse 10, it says this. It says, as every man has received the gift, that's the Christian, even so minister the same to one another as good stewards of the manifold or the various grace of God. In other words, we have various gifts within the body. Everybody has the ability. God has given them the ability in order that they might make a difference in this congregation and in this body. You can build this body up. You can build it up financially. You can build it up numerically. You can go forward. You can accomplish new things for Jesus. And so there's three truths then that emerge for every single believer. Look at your neighbor right now and say he's going to give us three truths for every believer. Look at your neighbor. Truth number one, if you're a believer, you belong to him. How many of you know you've been bought with a price? Bible says that we have. Truth number two, God has gifted you. And then truth number three, he has gifted you for a purpose. The purpose is to expand the kingdom of God. The purpose is to build up Rose Hill Missionary Baptist Church. If you're a member, you're not to be in the tearing down business, but you're to be in the building up business. Amen. And so this is important that we understand these truths. And that's the reason that I'm such an advocate for missions. I'm wearing my cooperative program pin this morning. I'm a firm believer in cooperative program giving because I believe in kingdom expansion. I believe that while we're building up the kingdom in Ashland, Kentucky, we need to be building it up in New York City. Amen. I believe while we're building up the kingdom in Ashland, Kentucky, simultaneously we need to be building it up in Africa and other places around the world. And being a member of a Southern Baptist church, there's a percentage, 7% of everything that you give, that is 7 cents of every dollar that you gave this morning, goes for the purposes of expanding the kingdom.
And so listen, church, we're not to be in the hoarding business, but we're to be in the investing business. We're not to use the world's methods. The world's methods is get all I can all I get, and then sit on the can. And I know there's a lot of churches that use the world's methods to try to do the Lord's work. It doesn't work. But we're to take what we have and we're to invest it. And this is important. And so I think about the believer. The believer is not like that because we understand the law of atrophy. You understand it. Now let me just illustrate to you that you understand the law of atrophy. Here it is. You ready for it? Amen. Listen. If you don't use it, you'll lose it. It's the law of atrophy. And so it's important that we understand. Most Christians understand this. Someone said this, atrophy is the reward of indolence. One Christian made this comment one time, one of our staff members, I'm sad to say. He said that he was addicted to laziness as some men are addicted to porn. One thing he didn't realize was this. Listen, laziness is not a weakness. Laziness is a wickedness. And so there's only really one way that you can spell church. You know what it is? W-O-R-K. That's the way you spell church. And it's important that we learn that. So how does this work out in the life of a church? A church needs to be active using their talents. If they're not active using their talents and their gifts, what happens to that church class? They die. I could take you to a church in our community right now. Got a great spot. It's not a Baptist church, but it's right on a corner lot. Man, my wife and Regina, or Angie, often said, you know, Dad, honey, he said, I wish we could have that lot and that building. Man, wouldn't that be a great place for a Baptist church? And the reason we say, not because we don't believe in other churches, we do. But listen, they're not doing anything. And I never see them doing anything. As a result of that, I want you to know that I believe that they're in the process of dying. You either use your gifts and your abilities and your talents, or listen, you end up losing it. You become active. You become people that are willing to work in the kingdom of God. You need to be involved. You say, how can I be involved? Well, you can pray. You can begin the process of praying. Listen, if you want something to go on your prayer list, put your church on your prayer list. Pray for your church and pray for your leaders. Lift them up daily in your prayers, and you can invite and you can attend. As a matter of fact, here's what I would suggest that you might consider doing, and that is you ought to consider making your five most wanted list. People that you're interested in the most. Five people that you're most interested in unchurched, unsaved. Going to pray for them. Try to do your best to reach them for Christ Jesus. You say, why? Because I think about in the scriptures, there was old Lazarus. Lazarus died, and the Bible says that he was carried right into the bosom of Abraham. But said the rich man died, and he was buried. You know what he was buried with? He was buried with his five most wanted list. He had five brothers that he wanted really to share the gospel with. He had five people that he needed to tell them about Jesus, but he went to the grave with his list. Don't you go to the grave with your list. You make your five most wanted list and you be prepared to share with them. Certainly you don't want them to go to the place of torment where the rich man was buried. So there's a responsibility and then there's a reliability. Verses 16 through 18. The reliability of the two gifted differently but had the same initiative. As a result, they received the same reward. The reliable two, but there's also the unreliable one, and that was the irresponsible one. Now, with the irresponsible one, it's kind of interesting because he had some time, but he wasted it. He didn't redeem it. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, that we're to redeem the time because the days that we're living in are evil. Make the best use of it. It's a market term. It means don't lose any opportunity to share the good news of Christ Jesus. And so we're to redeem the time. So he had some time, but he also had some resources. What did he do? He hoarded them. He buried them. Didn't use them. And if you don't use it, you do what, class? You lose it. And then beyond that, he had some energy and he wasted it. And so he thought that what he would do, he would just kill time until his master came back. But listen, what he found out was he can't kill time. Time kills him. And so he was in the process of self-destructing, and he didn't even know it. And so what good is a buried talent? And the answer is, it's good for nothing. You see, the problem is, I believe this man knew exactly what God wanted him to do. I believe that he knew what God wanted him to do, but he just didn't. He just wasn't willing to do it. Someone said to me, says, they look at me now, you know, when I left here, remember when I used to have black hair? Remember that? You know, something happened to me smoking for 15 years of a pipe, well, something happened, and I just changed. So when they see my gray hair now, they say, oh, Brother Paul, you're back in Asheville now. Are you going to retire? I say, no, I'm going to refire. Amen. That's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to get refired. Why? Because I believe in working until Jesus comes. I don't believe in retirement in the Christian circle. I want to work till Jesus comes. And then the old song says, we'll all be gathered home. I'm going to be like Charles Stanley. One of these days you invite me in here to speak, I'm going to bring me a chair and a table right up here and sit right up here. I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And I'm not going to quit. And so responsibility, then reliability, and then there's an accountability. Verse 19, the Bible says, after a long time. Now notice, the Bible teaches that for us that live in this dispensation of the age of grace of God, that from the ascension until the second coming of Jesus, it's going to seem like a long time. As a matter of fact, they're going to be, in the end time, they're going to be those that make fun of one particular doctrine in the scriptures. You know what doctrine that is? It's going to be the doctrine of the second coming. 2 Peter chapter 3 talks about they'll be mocking and saying, where is this Jesus? Where is he? If he's going to come back, where's he at? And the reason for that is it's going to seem like he's been gone for a very long time. But nevertheless, the Bible says a day with the Lord as 1,000 years, or 1,000 years as a day. And so for God, it's not a long time. Why is God waiting? God's long-suffering. He's waiting on some of you to get busy, some of you to get saved, of course, but others of you, he doesn't want you to see you stand before the bema empty-handed. He wants you to get busy and do something big for Jesus. So when he comes back, the Bible says in Romans chapter 14, verse 12, that we're all going to give an account. We'll have rewards for work well done. We'll have judgment for work that was undone. Verse 24. So here was an unprofitable servant. He probably thought, you know what? This Christian life is too demanding. He probably thought to him, there's too many rules. It's too hard. There's too much work. The Christians are exclusive down there at the church. They're a bunch of gay bashers and homophobics. That's who they are. I don't want to be associated with a group like that. And so they say they're hard to get along with. And so he probably said that. And so anyway, he kind of just didn't do anything. But I believe that he knew what to do. The Bible talks about people knowing God, but then not doing what they knew that God wanted them to do. And it brings us to one of the saddest verses I believe that there is in all of the Word of God. It's Romans chapter 1, verse 24. The Bible says they knew God. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. And the Bible says God gave up on them. God gave them up. Now, I don't know about you, but that's a sad verse to me. Wouldn't it be something that if you say, well, preacher, could that happen in a Baptist church? Of course it could. Of course it could. We knew God. We knew that we need to glorify Him with our bodies. We knew that we were priests of God and that God demands sacrifices. And when the sacrifices that God demands of us is our bodies, and we need to present our bodies to God as a sacrifice to live the way God would have us to live. And when we don't do that, the Bible says God will give us up. Just give us over to ourselves. It's never good. And so why would God give up? It's the sins of omission. Knowing what to do, we did not do it. And we allow the Great Commission to become the great omission. The Great Commission is to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit of God. And we make that an omission. And it's just as greater than the sins of commission. And so the conclusion is just simply this. When I think about stewardship, how would you rate yourself? We're getting ready to call a new pastor. Already called a new pastor. He's just not here yet. He's going to be coming. And so now would be a good evaluation time. So how do you rate yourself in the area of stewardship? Would you say that I'm responsible or I'm irresponsible? Are you responsible or are you irresponsible? Are you reliable or you would have to say, Brother Paul, I'm not very reliable. I'm unreliable. How would you rate yourself in the area of accountability? Are you ready to stand before Jesus? Would you be okay if the Lord would come today and you'd have to give an account for your Christian life? Or you'd have to say, Brother Paul, I'm not ready to stand before Jesus. So the truth is just simply this. We're either ready or we're not. There's really no middle ground. And so what this service has been designed for this morning especially is for us to be ready. The Bible says, be ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes. And one of these days, I want you to know that the Lord himself would ascend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will be raised first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. What are we going to be doing there? One of the first things, well, I'll stand before the bema, and I'll give an account for this thing called the Christian life. Are you ready? Dr. M.R. Nahan had on his grave, on his tombstone, perhaps today, meaning this could be the day that Jesus comes.
Jesus, keep me near the cross, fill a precious fountain.